exercises in different areas, I would like to say a few words about the armed forces. First of all, the armed forces are one of the definite honors of every society. Their presence and existence is one of the main elements without which a society cannot survive. Consider the fact that someone like the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "The army is the fortress of the people." This is mentioned in Nahjul Balagha, letter 53.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with the reporters.
Nearly 10,000 people in Paris held an intense rally demanding a halt to Israel's massacres in Gaza and that their politicians diplomatically work towards an immediate ceasefire. France's anti-Palestinian stance has worsened under President Emmanuel Macron, who has refused to put pressure on Israel to reduce their atrocities while fanning the flames of Islamophobia and constantly manipulating a so-called war on terror.
Macron is for the bourgeoisie and not for his own people. He certainly doesn't listen to the working class, who doesn't have any problem with the Jews, but who will not tolerate Zionism and their repeated massacres of Palestinians.
Macron's effort for a blanket ban on all pro-Palestinian demonstrations was legally rejected, but banning protests on a case-by-case method was approved. This was the first legal demonstration since the unrest began, allowing the average Parisian to express their solidarity with Palestine without fear of arrest or police brutality.
We see how calm this demonstration is. So the banning of pro-Palestinian marches on the pretext that they will cause violence or disorder is totally false. How can one be against the right to freedom of expression, and especially when all they are expressing is a call to peace?
In a sign of how far to the right the nation's political class has shifted, the left-leaning coalition in French Parliament seems to be definitively fractured after the Socialist and Green parties suspended their participation in order to support Israel even more.
We can't consider any organization to be leftist or supportive of the average worker if they support the Israeli regime and Macron's anti-Palestinian policies. So the break these political parties have decided upon isn't surprising at all, and they won't be missed.
Pro-Palestinian rallies continue to be banned elsewhere nationwide, exposing France to more accusations of hypocrisy regarding their constant claim to defend the freedom of speech.
France's public support for Palestine is really only just getting started, but there continues to be a massive outpouring of support worldwide, fueled by unprecedented coverage of Israeli atrocities in social media and alternative media, and by what many see as the hypocritical and biased stances of Western governments. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Yeah. Thousands of Syrians and Palestinians gathered in the Yarmouk camp in Damascus on Saturday for a pro-Palestine event organized by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. In the gathering, they denounced the relentless Israeli attacks on Gaza and the crippling blockade that has been suffocating its residents.
This demonstration is a message to our compatriots in occupied Palestine, especially in Gaza, that the Palestinians in Syria support their fight against the occupier who has committed the bloodiest massacres in the besieged strip, and that they are waiting for the moment to join the resistance. Victory is close, and we will not be terrified by the Israeli war machine or American threats.
Carrying Syria and Palestine flags, protesters voiced their outrage at the ongoing Israeli aggression and the horrifying atrocities in Gaza, including the recent tragic attack targeting the Al Ahli Hospital and St. Porphyrius Greek Orthodox Church, which claimed the lives of hundreds and left countless wounded.
Today, we answered the call of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Syria to voice our support for the heroes of the resistance in Gaza and all of Palestine. We come from various camps in the south, men, women, and children, and we are willing to sacrifice our lives. We will soon pray in Al-Aqsa by God's will.
The Palestinian women in Gaza are a part of the fight because they offer their children to God. I want to tell the Palestinian mothers that patience is the key to victory and that you're a role model due to all the sacrifices you're making.
Syrians and Palestinians affirmed that the entire resistance front supports the fight of the Palestinian people and that Gaza is not alone. They reminded the whole world that the blood of those killed by the Israeli regime will pave the path for liberating Al-Quds. While the international community continues to grapple with its response to Israel's war crimes and stands in awe of what the Palestinians' resistance has achieved, people of Yarmouk camp, Syrians and Palestinians alike, are demonstrating in solidarity with Gaza, advocating for justice and peace, and expressing their absolute faith in the victory of Palestine. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
As Israeli bombs rain down on Gazans, an urgent demand from Britons for an immediate end to the brutal war and bloodshed.
These people don't have a choice in what's going on. They're being pretty much slaughtered, women, children, and men. And I feel like the Western world is just letting this happen.
We want those horrible people who support genocide to come clean and tell the truth. We want the free press to report exactly what is happening. We want a free Palestine.
Insidious, slow slaughtering of people and just grief.
Grief over the horrific murders, but a flicker of hope at news of aid making it from Egypt through the Rafah crossing into Gaza. To the demonstrators here, this is a march to support the Palestinians. This is the second mass demonstration in 2 weeks, with the organizers saying more are in the pipeline, since they want to raise awareness of the Palestinian plight and what they have endured over decades.
Around the world, public support and solidarity for Palestinians is on the rise. An increasing number of people are telling the Palestinian they understand what they're going through, they hear their voices, and that they have their back. Saeed Porizab, London.
Members of the Islamic movement in Nigeria held a peaceful protest after Friday prayers at the National Mosque in the capital, Abuja. The demonstrators chanted slogans condemning the Israeli attacks on Gaza, which has resulted in the killing of thousands of Palestinians. They further condemned the Western refusal to call for a ceasefire and the support that the United States and European countries give to the Israelis. The demonstrators said they fully support the Palestinians.
The Islamic movement has been calling for justice for the Palestinians for the more than 4 decades. It's not just now that the Islamic movement started. The Islamic movement started from the beginning. It's one of the frontiers of calling for justice.
Free, free Palestine!
The demonstrators expressed solidarity with the people of Palestine, but regretted that many people still do not understand the motives of the Israelis, who have continued to oppress the Palestinians for several decades. They explained that the occupation of Palestinian lands and the systematic murder of innocent people, including women and children, is part of a grand plan of the Zionists.
Some people are still saying Israelis are acting on defense. What defense? Yesterday, if you feel they are killing Muslims, yesterday they went and destroyed a church of 1,600 years. They have destroyed it yesterday. Today, they have attacked another mosque of 1,400 years of existence. So they are killing Muslim, Christian, whoever they see, they kill him. It's Zionism that is fighting humanity.
Meanwhile, Muslim organizations under the Supreme Council for Sharia in Nigeria have condemned Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. They also called on the Nigerian government to urgently review its relations with the regime. Danjuma Abdullahi, Abuja.
George Ibrahim Abdullah, known as the Arab world's Nelson Mandela and Europe's longest-serving political prisoner, has now been in a French jail for 40 years. In 1982, amid daily airstrikes and with Israel about to invade Lebanon, Abdullah headed an anti-Zionist and pro-socialist organization which took responsibility for assassinating an Israeli and an American intelligence agent in Paris. Many are concerned that Abdullah has effectively been given a life sentence in jail, even though his release was granted by a parole board in 2013.
France is so very proud of having abolished the death penalty, but instead of executing with the guillotine, they are forcing a slow death by prison on this global hero. For 40 years, he has refused to recant his support for Palestine and his act of legitimate self-defense in the face of Israeli violence.
Paris refuses to send him back to Lebanon, despite repeated requests from Lebanese officials, with Washington and Tel Aviv also pressuring to extend his detention.
He is such an example to the world because of his resistance to Zionist attempts at occupation, and because of what he has been forced to suffer so unjustly, and because he continues to fight against the crimes of imperialism. His regular political statements are received with great attention, not just in occupied Palestine and his home country of Lebanon, but around the world.
Protests demanding Abdullah's release are regular in France and Lebanon, while flags adorned with Abdullah's face are seen at seemingly every leftist or union demonstration in France. The Western mainstream media effectively has a blackout on Abdullah, but that hasn't stopped him from becoming an inspirational symbol of anti-imperialist resistance around the world, with supporters who say they'll never stop demanding his freedom. Ramin Mazahari, Paris.
Yemenis have taken to the streets for the second day in a row to show their solidarity with Palestinians as Israel continues its brutal attacks on the Gaza Strip. During the demonstration, protesters also praised the latest military actions, which targeted U.S. military assets in the region. According to reports, three missiles, which were launched from Yemen, targeted U.S. Navy warships in the Red Sea. This was also followed by other attacks on the U.S. military bases in Iraq and Syria in recent days.
I would like to send a message to the people of Gaza. By will of Allah, we are not going to enjoy food or drink without fighting alongside you. We are calling on the leaders to open the borders so we can join you in jihad.
From here in Yemen, I would like to send a message to the Zionist occupiers and aggressors. We will not allow you to get away with your crimes. We are coming for you. You will certainly see us soon in a place where you had hoped never to see us.
The Ansarullah government has not yet confirmed that it was behind the aerial attacks. However, the leader of Yemen's revolution, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, had said in the past that U.S. military assets would be targeted if the country joins the war against Palestinians.
We are not only going to march the streets to protest, but we are also ready to go to the battlefield to defend Islam, defend our lands, and defend Al-Aqsa. We are not like the Saudis and Emirates who are normalizing ties with Israel. They are the biggest traitors.
It is not clear how long the war will take. Comments and actions by Israel and its ally, the U.S., indicate that it's going to be a long war. Speakers during Friday prayers called on worshippers to protest daily in solidarity with Palestinians. This as the Yemeni government explores strategic military options that can be adopted to help end the bloodshed in Palestine. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
A brisk autumn night in front of the White House, but for protesters, heated passion over the constant bombardment of Gaza.
Nerveen Adwan says she fled Gaza 20 years ago, but now her heart is there with her people.
People are not allowed to travel, are not allowed to find food. There's no food, there's no water, there's no medicine. And the people who seek medicine and cure in the hospital, they got killed.
Demonstrators gathered here focused on reports that an Israeli airstrike on Tuesday killed hundreds of people at a hospital. The death toll, the highest of any single incident in Gaza in recent days, triggering protests there and around the world.
Protests have been happening across the country both day and night. Most people outraged over the climbing death toll, not to mention the growing humanitarian crisis affecting the most vulnerable.
Many here angered by United States' alignment with Israel and its president, Joe Biden, calling him complicit.
He can go to hell, to be honest with you. Like the Americans have never been on the side of Palestinians, and they never will be. And he's just aiding Israel. He's just empowering Israel to move on and to continue their war efforts.
Others say legacy media are also to blame.
The mainstream media is directly culpable and directly responsible for these deaths. They have done everything from platform Israeli officials to spew their pure hatred unchecked.
Israel is a apartheid state!
These demonstrators are demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. They say they hope for the best, but expect the worst.
It's our land. Where else to go?
Colin Campbell, Washington.
As the Israeli war on Gaza rages on, a vigil in London to remind Palestinians they're not alone. The mood is somber. Some here have lost loved ones in Gaza.
I have family in Gaza, some of extended family that have been martyred, family, friends who are also gone, direct family that's been displaced. It's heartbreaking.
This is beyond, it's absolutely like terrifying and horrific that we are here at this point. Just free Palestine.
Across from the vigil, the office of the UK Prime Minister, whose government's unfettered support for the Israeli regime, amplified by the UK's mainstream media, is not lost on the vigil goers.
What we have here is a media that is discriminatory, that is explicitly valuing the lives of Palestinians less than Israeli people. We have reports, there are studies. Each death of a Palestinian generates 1/7 the media of a death of an Israeli. And it's clear that in this conflict that there is a distortion of facts, that we have a set of reports that come out of Israel and a set of reports that come from Palestinian people. They are not treated the same. We treat the Israeli reports as fact, even though they have one of the worst track histories. And we treat the Palestinian reports as a likely falsehood, as something sketchy, as information that we don't trust.
Support for the Palestinians comes under a deteriorating climate for human rights activists in Europe. Just last week, the UK Interior Minister told police carrying the Palestinian flag may be a criminal offense. At the time of this report, Israeli bombardments of the Gaza Strip have killed over 3,000 Palestinians and injured more than 11,000 others.
It's been several days of horror for Palestinians in Gaza, several days of heartbreaking images pouring in, and several days of agony for the people here in the UK and across the world who feel powerless to stop the Israeli carnage. To them, this is about remembering those who were murdered and praying for the survivors. Saipur is up in London.
Heading a high-ranking delegation, South Africa's foreign minister arrived in the Iranian capital, Tehran, to hold talks with high-ranking Iranian officials. First stop, Iran's foreign ministry. The two sides sat down for talks. The foreign ministers emphasized on expanding bilateral relations and discussed preparations for President Ebrahim Raisi's upcoming visit to South Africa. But most importantly, they focused on cooperation in the framework of BRICS.
As BRICS members, we need to do much more to have dynamic, concrete attention to reform of the mechanisms of the United Nations, most particularly the UN Security Council, which we as BRICS members believe is undemocratic in practice and not representative in composition. Thus, UNSC reform is an important agenda item on the business of BRICS.
A stance that was echoed by Iran's foreign minister, who cited the inaction of the UNSC in the face of the U.S.'s blatant support for Israel in its incessant attacks on Gaza.
I would like to warn the U.S. and its proxy, Israel, if the war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza is not stopped, any possibility at any moment is imaginable, and the region will get spiral out of control, and the warmongers will be the ones who will suffer.
This with the South African diplomat also on the same page, expressing strong support for Palestine.
It is sad that many countries in the region in which Palestine exists had essentially deserted the people of Palestine. But I think they can see today why countries like South Africa have been consistent in their support for Palestine and have never deviated from the belief President Mandela held that until the people of Palestine are free, South Africa will not be fully free.
A clear sign that this support is more than just rhetoric, and both Iran and South Africa are prepared to take it to the next level. Both Iran and South Africa are clear regarding their stance in condemning the Israeli regime's atrocities in the occupied territories and their full support for the Palestinian nation fighting for freedom. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
Option for today and a better tomorrow. IRIB English Radio. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Over 5 million more American children were plunged into poverty in 2022 after stimulus provisions expired. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back. According to Truth Out, new data shows that child poverty in the United States of America skyrocketed in 2022 after lawmakers allowed pandemic stimulus provisions to expire, leaving millions to languish even as the pandemic and its economic consequences raged on. According to the Census Bureau's latest report on poverty in the U.S., the supplemental poverty rate among children more than doubled between 2021 and 2022, jumping from 5.2% to 12.4% in just 1 year. This represents an increase of over 5 million children experiencing poverty in 2022, for a total of about 9 million children. Poverty also increased for all ages by 4.6 percentage points to 12.4% in 2022. This marks the first increase in the supplemental poverty rate since 2010 and marks the largest one-year rise in poverty rates on record, according to the Census Bureau. The agency says the incident was due to the expiration of provisions like the expanded child tax credit, which provided families with children extra money each month, the expanded earned income tax credit, EITC, and the end of the stimulus payments. The expansions of the child tax credit and EITC both ended in 2021. After helping to keep millions of individuals and families afloat during the first 2 years of the pandemic, due in large part to these provisions and the stimulus checks, the supplemental poverty rate hit an all-time low of 7.8% among all ages in 2021, the Census Bureau found. Inflation also played a major role in household finances. As inflation rose 7.8% between 2021 and 2022, a record increase, household median income fell by 2.3% in real dollars, meaning that they were adjusted for inflation. This roughly matches the decrease in workers' wages in real dollars of 2.2%. The official poverty rate remained flat at 11.5%. The official rate is calculated differently from the supplemental rate and is considered to be outdated because it doesn't take into account aid from some of the most significant anti-poverty programs like Social Security or basic costs like utilities or shelter. Findings demonstrate the long-time progressive adage that poverty is a policy choice and that U.S. lawmakers can implement policies that would reduce or eliminate poverty if they chose to do so. Sharon Parrott, president of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, CBPP, said in a statement recently, "The rise in the poverty rate, the largest on record in over 50 years, both overall and for children, underscores the critical role that policy choices play in the level of poverty and hardship in the U.S. Parrott emphasized that even if Congress had only kept extending the expanded child tax credit, it could have kept 3 million children out of poverty in 2022, or over half of the children who were plunged into poverty last year. Other attempts to revive the credit were rejected by Democrats and Republicans alike." ABC News also reported in 2022 the poverty rate in the U.S. was 12.4%, up 4.6% from 2021, according to the Supplemental Poverty Measure, SPM, which looks at government programs and tax credits designed to help low-income families, according to the census. The expiration of pandemic programs, including refundable tax credits and stimulus payments at the start of 2022, led to an increase in the SPM over the official poverty rate, the census reported. The poverty rate among children saw a sizable increase, more than doubling from 5.2% in 2021 to 12.4% last year, census data shows. The official poverty rate for Black Americans decreased by 2.4% from 19.5% in 2021 to 17.1% in 2022, according to census data, as well as for Asian Americans, which saw the official poverty rate dip from 9.1% in 2021 to 8.6% last year. White Americans experienced a 0.5% increase in poverty from 2021 to 2022, which sits at 10.5%, census data shows. The official poverty rate measures poverty by comparing pre-tax income to a poverty threshold adjusted by family composition, according to the Census Bureau.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome to the Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, this has been day 17 of the Israeli genocide on Gaza, the strip of land with a civilian population of 2.2 million people, has been bombed and attacked from the air, land, and sea by tanks, by drones, by missiles, and by fighter jets. Phosphorus bombs have even been used on this population. Half of whose residents are under 18 years old. Despite this, the bombings continue, as does the thirst and hunger of the people, as essentials have been cut off to the Gaza Strip. More than 5,000 people have been slaughtered, and 2,000 of them being kids. The mass murder continues as Gazans face another night in the desert, except for the bombs exploding over their heads. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program, my first guest, Saeb Shath, the author and Middle East expert from Belfast. Saeb, thanks so much for being with me. I mean, it's such a tragedy, and it's so difficult, to be honest, just covering this situation. In the last 24 hours, 430 more Palestinians were killed in Gaza. Saeb, just tell me your overall assessment of things.
A genocide is taking place and ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian. And the Zionist entity got the huge support from, shamelessly, from the West, all the West, which is surprising, you know, to see West Europe these days have no statement, no leadership like we can remember during the 2003 American attack on Iraq. At least there was the German Chancellor Schroeder that time and Chirac, who tried to act like De Gaulle in a way, which is to stand up. They failed, but they tried. But today, you cannot say there is one who's trying to stand, at least to save the face of West Europeans who talks about human rights and the Geneva Convention and the annex of the fourth annex and all of this. They cannot anymore talk about anything but double standards. They today they took obviously with the communique, which is signed by all the Western leaders under, of course, the auspices of Mr. Biden himself. They can say they are racist and adheres to fascist and Zionist, of course, policies when they show full support and is still talking, even in Egypt conference, which is supposed to be under the name of peace, of supporting the Zionist entity and against the international law, keep saying it have the right to defend itself. How can an attacker have the right to defend himself against the victim? I don't understand. And last night and today as well, the people in the south of Gaza Strip, in the city of Khan Yunis, which the Zionist entity with all the state-of-the-art American technologies and bombs and whistles and whatever, blown them people to pieces who they pushed them down to the south. And we as well, the people of Khan Yunis, they speak of unbelievable hell landed on them from the skies. So many killed, so many devastations, so many buildings, so many homes, people, you know, lots of names we are familiar with and known, young graduates of medicine haven't yet started their first day, and it's heartbreaking, and all of that is under the watch of the Muslim leaders.
Yes, and, indeed. Indeed. Let me get Feras al-Najm, a human rights activist out of Toronto, in on this discussion. Feras, when I was talking to our correspondent in Khan Yunis, he told me about the overall situation. Besides the overall devastation and the bombs falling on their heads, he says everything has collapsed. The sewage system has collapsed. Raw sewage is going into the sea. The soil is filled with depleted uranium because the Israeli regime is using depleted uranium on the civilian population, and also phosphorus. We know the phosphorus bombs are being used, and he said they're just being poisoned in so many different directions or bombed on a daily basis or just totally in shock and constant pressure. Your thoughts, Feras?
Yes. I mean, it's very clear that the Zionist regime is just exposing its cruelty, its evil establishment, and its history. I mean, this is we have got to the peak point of these criminal acts, and the Israeli regime is losing grip, it's crumbling, and this is kind of like a hysteria, you know, where they cannot control what they do. They just want to retaliate. They want to seek revenge for their losses and their weaknesses. And really, truly, this is showing in the world right now. If you look at the world stage and you see what's happening on the streets in the world, the masses amounts of people that are going out and protesting in all countries. I mean, I was surprised to see in Japan, in South Korea, so many different places that are pretty much, governments that are submissive to the U.S. imperialist system. And the people on the ground, in the streets, the populations are going out in support of Palestine. So truly, this is making more people angry and frustrated and hateful towards the Israeli regime. They're not gaining any allies anymore. They're actually only gaining enemies. And the hearts of the people are going towards the Palestinians instead of Palestinians. And truly, you can see who cares about human rights and who doesn't in this case, because you could, like you mentioned, all the breaches of international law, all this inhumane, attacks and punishment on a whole stage. I mean, the whole country is being punished. Okay, it's a collective punishment against the whole population of Gaza because they can't deal with the resistance there, the brave and bold resistance there. So they're trying to have everybody punished, and this shows you that they do not care about any laws in any way.
Right.
And this means that they're losing. They're losing. Truly, this is a this is a big loss for them.
Right. Yeah. They seem to be reeling and totally out of control. It's interesting that the corporate media still tries to use October the 7th. Of course, the absolutely amazing day of the resistance. They need to use that to justify everything that is happening. And as you said, Feroz, about totally ignoring international law, I want to read something from the United Nations. The United Nations, of course, resolution. And also we know this is part of the Geneva Convention, that there's the lawful entitlement of occupied people to resist occupying forces by any and all lawful means. And then it goes on to say that the resolution reaffirmed the legitimacy of the struggle of peoples for independence, territorial integrity, national unity, and that they can resist occupation by all available means, including armed struggle.
Yeah.
So, Saeb, I mean, we don't hear any of this on mainstream media. We don't hear this coming out of these Western regimes that, of course, this did not start October 7th. But we're talking about 75 years of occupation, of murder, of just totally trying to torture the native population.
Brilliant. You use the term native here because that's what it is. It's the New World Order after the Second World War. All of these laws which govern battles and wars and whatever, they are actually in their own minds, as they say, from Woodward Wilson till that minute, is towards the white societies, white Europeans. And this is applies on white. And if we notice in this last 2 weeks with the war being waged in Gaza, the genocide war, the ethnic cleansing, it's a racist war. It's like a crusade against the Arabic region and the Islamic people in there. Even the Christians who belong to that area, they are treated no different than a Muslim or others. So the Geneva Convention, remember the French when they have the resistance against Nazis, and the Dutch, and a lot of resistance in Europe against the Nazis. They used to salute that. That is brave. But when you say to the French who send mercenaries today to fight the Palestinian, there is no flights from France to occupied Palestine under Israel. But the French send the flights of mercenaries there to take part in fighting the Palestinians because of racism. Because what you see to them, Geneva Convention, the United Nations charters, all of that is fine. They can apply it when they want. The double standards, the hypocrisy. This world needs to shock these people. And these people leading the West, they will pay the price from their own voters next time these voters. Because as your guest from Canada say, the people in the streets, their heart with the Palestinians now. Lots of people going to the side of Palestinians because they see the massacres. They see their taxpayers' money being used to support the wars on innocent people in Palestine. The doctors, the nurses, who is being asked for increasing their wage in the UK, and they said, no, we don't have money. Suddenly they see their money being get out of the treasury and going toward Israel to support wars or Ukraine. It's disgusting. And it's about time somebody speaks it and stop it. The media, they cannot control the collective public opinion anymore because the people start tending to use social media and this and that. You remember when they silenced Breast TV and other channels? Exactly, because of the truth was broadcasted from Breast TV through a Sky network and this and that. They didn't like that. They didn't like their people to see the truth. They want to lead their people like sheep people.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
First, the Iranian foreign minister, Amir Abdullahian, has said the region is like a powder keg and things could spread and blow up very, very quickly now. Your thoughts on that and your overall assessment of the situation as it stands, the likelihood of this expanding?
Yes, I mean, the axis of resistance, you know, they are very determined to destroy this Zionist entity in this occupation and free and liberate the Palestinian people. And I think they're all very eager, and they're standing patiently waiting for the light from the Islamic leaders, especially from Imam Khamenei and, for instance, Ayatollah Sistani and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Houthi from Yemen, Sheikh al-Khaz'ali from Iraq, for the Popular Mobilization Forces. I mean, all these axes of resistance have been watching these crimes, and they all have lots of military experience, and they've defeated so much of the Zionist puppets such as ISIS and all these different groups. And they have that determination, and they have the strength, and they're waiting for the opportunity to get inside and help the Palestinians and free them. And this is inevitable. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. We believe, though, that Palestinians can free their land, you know, together once they're, you know, united and they're, you know, causing more pain to the Zionists. I mean, in different cities and different areas inside Palestine, the more education the Palestinian factions and different groups and also coordination and attacks, I think this is going to, you know, expedite the liberation process as well. But, you know, the Zionists are playing with fire and throwing on it, acting like they're brave, and they're striking in Syria sometimes. And they're also fighting on the borders with Lebanon, with Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is taking it easy, to be honest. Hezbollah, if they wanted to, they can you know, start a big war with the Israelis. But there's a strategy involved, and there's some patience, and there's some nation between the axis of resistance. I think Gaza really wants to deal with this battle themselves because they're Palestinian and they have matured up and strengthened up now to a very strong resistance. And, you know, I think themselves, the Palestinians, have the strength now and the experience and the unity and determination to really destabilize the Zionist regime. And hopefully we're going to get to a stage where it's going to be very close to liberation. And,
okay. Okay, let me get back in on this. I mean, we've been talking about Gaza. Of course, the situation is deteriorating rapidly in the West Bank, but more and more people are coming out. I just want to go back to what Firas is just saying. As far as they're playing with fire, Palestinians now, I feel they're at a point of no return almost because of seeing this carnage taking place in Gaza, those on the West Bank. Do you think that the Israelis, that they have crossed the line, they will never be able to return to the parameters that were set up prior to October the 7th?
Even if they want to return to that, they are not allowed. I would have agreed with your guest from Canada. If the United States of America was like France or like, you know, not the superpower, or the dominant power in the world. The Israel acts as a function state for the United States of America, or as an extension of the United States of America. And Israel in there, it's the one who's showing up the interest of the West altogether in that part of the world. Oil, gas, transport, support, the whole thing. The strength of the United States of America as a dominant power around the world comes from its over the oil and the gas and the transportation and that side of the world, which is that and the standard reserve currency of which is the whole world use, which is the dollar. It's linked to that. Linked to the oil is not or gas sold without the dollars. So this is like the black gold cover to give legitimacy to the United States of America. This war in Gaza is linked to all of that, links to the hegemony of the United States of America. Link if the Palestinians manage to shake the core of the Zionist entity, the protector of its interests in that region. There'll be two protectors there. Shah of Iran, which is the Islamic revolution in Iran, demolished, and now the Zionist entity, the only one, stays there. If this goes again out of the picture like the Shah of Iran, then the United States of America doesn't have any tools to leverage in the international arena. And the New World Order, with the multiplayers like Russia, China, the BRICS, all the rest, will come to fact, de facto them. So this is why the whole West rushed to help Israel, to shore up the Zionists, to tell the settlers, THAAD missiles coming, Patriot missiles, batteries coming, the Navy, the British Navy, the air carriers, fighters, in the America 73, and all of that. Even today, if you read the New York Times reported about the Biden administration telling their own, the Zionist entity, Israel, delay its invasion, they putting it under the cover of to release the prisoners and give some little shipment of aid to Gaza. But America's interest is to prepare for possible attacks on the U.S. interests as in the region, as the New York Times mentioned, which is we see in the Iraqi resistance attacking Ain al-Assad base. The Yemeni attacked, sent missiles. The American said warships said we okay. intercepted some. But in the future, it will get bigger and bigger. The
All right. And on that note, I would love to continue. I really would, but we're out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us. Faris al-Najm, human rights activist out of Toronto, Saab Chef, author and Middle East expert out of Belfast. And thank you for being with us on another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and other crew right here in Tehran. Goodbye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.